greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more.
Welcome to the Thursday, August the 14th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at republicbroadcasting.org. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Now today, Gary Robinson will join us from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, where virtue, liberty, and independence are more than just mere words. The research conducted by Gary Robinson into the origins and the history of the Uniform Law Commission first came to my attention right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network during the early months of its existence in Round Rock, Texas. In the past weeks here on Become Vocal Local, I have reintroduced this very important topic, drawing in part from Gary's research. I was pleased to discover that Gary Robinson has continued his research in this area and have invited him to join us today that we might all benefit from his knowledge of this topic, which, I admit, is much greater than my own. Let us now welcome Gary Robinson as we discover the truth about how laws in our country often are created, right here on Become Vocal Local. Good afternoon, Gary. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad to have you join us. You know, listeners, it's just kind of a curiosity. I have long been a shortwave listener and a internet radio listener now in the past couple of years. And so long ago, I came across a broadcast during the day where Gary was on air speaking with Chris Gerner on the American Exposé broadcast, which I later helped to take over, if you will, do the broadcast for Chris after he decided that it was a little bit too much for him. But anyway, this is where I first heard about the Uniform Law Commission, and my research into this, Gary, hasn't stopped, and apparently neither has yours. Why don't you tell the audience just a little bit about who you are and how this first came into your sphere of knowledge and how you got started and involved in the Uniform Law Commission and the research into it?
All right. Well, I became an inadvertent whistleblower. Was what prompted me to start researching government back in mid-80s, around 1985. I was working for a company that sold off the division that I worked in, and I had been contributing to the pension plan, but not vested in it when the division was sold off. Well, they told us former employees at a meeting with a new owner that those of us who were not vested in the pension plan, out of the goodness of their hearts, that someday they were going to vest us, even though we were no longer employees. Well, obviously that turns out to be a pension fraud, because they were continuing to take tax deductions and credits for people who were no longer employees, and legally we could never become vested because we had been separated from employment before vesting. And when I went to a law firm here in Montgomery County in Pennsylvania, I
have to hold that right there, and we'll pick it up after this first break. Stay with us, folks. This is Become Vocal Local.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse?
A world economic collapse could come any day.
Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound.
Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited.
Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our Doomsday Water Filter System.
Without water, you die.
It's all online at survivalistseeds.com.
Are you prepared?
That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become
property of the New World Order.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
We have right here on Become Vocal Local, and for those of you who are just joining us after the top of the hour news break on our affiliate stations, this is Become Vocal Local, and we're interviewing Gary Robinson today. Our topic is the International Law Commission, the Uniform Law Commission, the process of how laws are made. And Gary was just relating that, as it happens for so many of us, our ox gets gored locally, and that prompts us to get involved in the political process. Now, before we continue, Gary, let me remind our audience that we welcome any call, comments, and questions that you might have for Gary or I about the lawmaking process. But I do ask that you please hold your calls until we ask for them. The listener line is 1-800-313-9443. So, Gary, coming out of a whistleblower situation, you find that it was necessary for you to take a look at the lawmaking process. And in that discovery, when your ox was on the line, so to speak, you started to find out things about it that were a little bit perhaps new. Would you go ahead and continue?
All right. Well, the way that this unfolded was, it involved a company taking deductions, federal and state deductions, for people who are no longer employees. So I went to a law firm here in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. They took my case, and part of it, they ended up filing and billed me for filing complaints with the U.S. Department of Justice and the Department of Labor. And when I contacted those two federal agencies, I come to find out that the complaints had never been filed with them by my law firm, even though they had billed me for such. And I contacted those federal agencies because the law firm was refusing to give me a copy of the response that they had. Well, obviously, they couldn't give me one because they hadn't filed it. So they were involved in financial fraud, billing fraud.
All right.
And to make it worse, after about 6 months, they actually duplicated all the existing bills that I had paid up to that time, $4,000, put a cover letter on it, and gave it a new date, but other than that, simply Xeroxed every document and billed me a duplicate billing for the what had already been paid.
All right.
So I went to the Montgomery County District Attorney's office. And he told the district attorney told me there was nothing they could do because lawyers are state government officials and they have no jurisdiction as a county district attorney.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I went to the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office, and then one of their investigators met with me and said, look, there's really nothing we can do. There's, in fact, part of the state law called it the Attorney's Protection Act. It's in, you know, Title 71 dealing with state government, and they were gone. So I went to the law library, looked up this Title 71, Pennsylvania state government, and found that part of that law states that for purposes of law enforcement, attorneys are state government officials. And in essence, they're not prosecuted, apparently, unless they step on somebody's important toes, and they need to make it look good that, like, attorneys are prosecuted when they commit crimes. So the more...
Are these officials of the state, or are these agents of the state?
Well, both.
Okay, synonymous, all right.
Right. So the more I looked, the worse it got. It turned out that in Pennsylvania, going back to 1834... There was a Pennsylvania state law passed that created the Office of Attorney at Law and Oath of Office in Title 42, which deals with the Pennsylvania judiciary. So going back to 1834, lawyers by state law have been officers of the judicial branch since 1834. And one thing led to another, and I ran across something in my research that dealt with the American Bar Association and the lawyers and the legislative drafting. And lo and behold, what turned up was this thing called the National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, which was formed in 1892. As a permanent special subcommittee of the American Bar Association. About 15 years ago, I was working with someone when this was, I was just getting into researching this, and he was able to get us into the American Bar Association's offices in Washington, D.C. And in looking through their library and some of their history books, it turns out that they did, in fact, at their 12th annual meeting in 1892, create this National Conference of Commissioners on Uniform State Laws, is what they referred to in their history books, as a permanent special subcommittee of the American Bar. Yet, when they formed it in 1892, they gave it a separate constitution and bylaws. So it gets more and more bizarre as you go along, but here is apparently a permanent special subcommittee of the American Bar that also stands as a separate legal entity, yet it's part of the American Bar. And reading from their constitution and bylaws, which you can still access on the Internet, years ago they didn't even have a website, but you can find it. But here's it's interesting to see that under Article 2, Commissioners, it states, if in any state an appointing authority does not exist or fails to act, the president of the conference may request the appointment of one or more commissioners for that state by the president of the state bar organization, recognized as such by the American Bar Association. So they go on in the next section, associate members, that the principal administrative officer of every state legislative reference bureau or other agency charged by law with the duty of drafting legislation at the request of the legislative or executive officers shall be an associate member of the conference. And that
let me just interrupt you right there, Gary, so for the benefit of the audience that might not be following this thread. We have a clearly defined separation of powers in our Constitution and in the Constitution for the several states. And so what you are basically doing is starting us into the understanding that the judicial branch has crossed that line of separation, that line of demarcation, through this commission, and are engaged in the actual process, perhaps, of writing the laws and thereby taking over the lawmaking capacity of the legislature and bringing that under the auspices of the judicial branch. Is that a fair summary?
Oh, that's accurate, absolutely. In essence, here's a sort of a question we could ask and look at ourselves as Americans. How would we feel if some foreign power said, look, we're going to invade and take over America, and we're going to eliminate the legislative body, we're going to have an executive and the courts, two branches, and the judicial branch will make all law as well as administer it. I mean, how many Americans would put up with that type of concept? I think, you know, we all do appreciate the good intentions of the founders of America, separating powers with checks and balances. In essence, what you come across here is finding that the American Bar Association, in conjunction with the two major parties, the Democrats and Republicans, got together in 1892 and formally created what they even refer to as the shadow super legislature that doesn't exist without the, or it exists without the recognition or knowledge of the American public. And what they did here was they got both parties to enact laws within each state to create a judicial branch office in the legislature so that really the writing of all law doesn't lie with your elected lawmakers. It lies with a branch office of the judicial branch hidden in every legislature.
Now, we've spoken about that here on Become Vocal Local in the past week or 10 days, and so what we're looking at, then, there's a legislative bill drafting agency or a legislative research branch in the state capitals all across this country who are engaged in the process of researching out and writing legislation. Now, when the judicial branch is taking a strong role or a guiding hand in all of that, then how does that relate back to the people at the county level and at the state level when their legislator tells them, well, I'm sponsoring new legislation and I'm presenting it? Let's follow that thread just a little bit so that we can understand that perhaps our legislature is not exactly being on up front with us.
Well, in essence, if you or anyone goes to a legislator, even a lobbyist, and they, you know, a lot of people are upset about these lobbyists writing the laws. Well, the way it actually works in de facto that I have encountered in dealing with several legislators is that even the lobbyist has to give their draft to the legislator, who then is required to submit it to the bill drafting agency of his state.
And hold it right there, Gary. We'll be right back after this short commercial intermission. Stay with us, folks, here on Become Vocal Local.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Have returned. And so there are several different ways that Gary is elaborating here about how a bill might come into existence. One, of course, would be from you, the constituent. You have a concern, a question, a need, perhaps. You bring it up with your representative. Another would be from the representative himself in the course of daily affairs. He comes into an idea or comes across a body of knowledge. The third would be from a lobbyist or a group or an organization. We've talked about pluralism here and Become Vocal Local in the past. And so from perhaps one of these three different areas, someone brings something to the attention of the legislator, and then that goes to someone in the government of her state or the federal government, and that someone then begins a process. Let's pick it up there, Gary, for the audience.
All right. So, you know, we've been taught in civics for a number of decades now and through generations that your legislators sponsored a bill. They introduce it to the House or the Senate, and it gets a number, and then it moves through. If it passes, it goes to the other body, and on. We're quite well familiar with that. But until I got into researching this, I never thought much about it. You assume that the way it was presented in civics, that your legislator in his office and with his staff actually drafted the bill and then submitted to the chief clerk of the House or Senate. Well, that's not the way it's worked for nearly a century. You've got this bill drafting agency, and your legislator must submit it to their drafting body, who then write it the way the party caucus attorneys and other higher powers that be behind the scenes have dictated on what the bill is actually to be. So it's kind of like if you went to bakery school and you paid $5,000 to become a baker of cakes and goodies and stuff, and you got there, and suddenly you were told, well, look, you're only going to be allowed to put the batter in this pan. You're only going to be allowed to put that in the oven and then take it out when it's done. Don't worry about what's in the batter. That's not for you to worry about. And you're not going to, in fact, you're not to worry about it because you're not going to be allowed to control it. Well, that's the essence of what is going on. And none of our proud legislators through nearly 100 years, none of them have been honest enough to tell the public if they weren't in on it before. A good example was John McCain. There was a man who served, you know, took the soldier's oath. Bob Dole. These people took the soldier's oath when they became U.S. legislators, federal congressmen. In their first week of orientation, they were told, this is the way it is. You're not allowed to write your bills. You have to submit it to the House or Senate Office of Legislative Counsel. They will draft it in a proper legal form. Don't worry about it. Well, gee, you know, here you took the soldier's oath to support, obey, and defend the Constitution. Suddenly you get elected to being a lawmaker, and you're told you're not allowed to actually make the law. You can only vote on it. No one has ever told us that.
Exactly.
And I find that extremely troubling that, you know, we wouldn't allow a foreign power to come in this country and eliminate one branch of government, but those holding those seats have abdicated it. I mean, wouldn't you like to get paid for a job that you don't do?
Or that you didn't have to do.
Right. And yet you turn around and you frequently hear these news stories of legislators complaining, oh, we didn't have time to read the bill. We didn't know what was in it. Well, then why are they voting for it instead of voting against it and shutting it down?
Well, over the past evening, the past 24 hours, I've gone back to some of my old civics books and I've gone into my briefcase and pulled out some of these charts that outline the process for enacting a bill into law, certainly here in Missouri, but also nationwide. And this very first reading that is required these days is no more than a bill title. And
right.
Then the next time it's read, they give the bill title again and may give a summary, at which point I believe it then is referred to a committee. It's not until the committee sees it and actually begins to discuss it and have public debate, if they have any public opinion accepted, it's not until that point that anybody ever even gets to discuss it. Then it comes out of the committee, but it goes back onto the floor again, and it's reread as a bill title or a summary. Am I correct?
Yes. But okay. Part of the problem is, even when they debate it, they're long on rhetoric without ever reading the actual wording of the bill, which further complicates things, because then most bills, in fact, have provisions that are inconsistent or contradict the public statements about what the bill actually does.
Well, we certainly saw that with the Patriot Act, and there's no doubt about it, the Civil Asset Forfeiture and Seizure Act. Every time I read that, it sticks in my craw. So we understand then that there's a problem, and let's go in now to some of these problem makers. We're about to come up on a break, but the Uniform Law Commission followed directly on the heels of the creation of the American Bar Association, which followed directly on the heels of the American Bankers Association, and one can hardly fail to notice the connection between these three, and then to consider that the Uniform Law Commission, the grand jewel, is the Uniform Law Commission, or the Uniform Commercial Code. So, folks, stay with us. We'll be back after this brief intermission, and we'll resume right where we left.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
And we've been speaking with Gary Robinson this afternoon, and my mother used to caution me, Gary, about using too broad of a brush because she noticed that it was almost a tendency with me, and she also asked me to prove absolutes exist before I assume that they do. Now, we've got a lot of new faces coming on, Jim Guest, Sam Rohrbach, Karen Johnson, and others who are working diligently apparently to try and rectify some of the injustices in the justice system. Has there been anything in your research that would indicate that there are ways around this legislative research bunch, the bill drafters, if you will? Is there any possibility that there are things yet to discover in this process, or are we pretty well convinced that you're just not going to get a piece of legislation out of the House or the Senate unless it passes through these agencies first?
You're not going to get it out of the House or Senate without it passing through the bill drafting agency. And this is, it's the swindler's argument. When you run across it and you know about it and you ask them, their stick that they carry is, oh, well, it's only an advisory service. We still get to say what it is. And that is a flat-out lie.
Okay.
It is not advisory. You know, but that's what they're going to tell you. And they even have it in the writing, but the actual practice is that your legislator is not going to have the chief clerk of the House or Senate accept it and number it and introduce it unless it came to the chief clerk of the House from the legislative bill drafting agency.
So the idea really then is that ostensibly, I mean, I'll just stand in, and I don't like to use the idea of a devil's advocate. I advocate for no devils, but just to take the opposite side of this coin and be a contrarian for a moment, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of laws and pieces of legislation, and if we added up all of the clauses that exist, we're into the millions. And so, in one sense, I can see the value of having an expert in the and persons that are knowledgeable in the law to be able to go and cross-check and make sure that before something is passed into law, which is really the appropriate time to interdict, before it's passed into law, that we make sure that it doesn't conflict anything, and that if it does, that those pieces of legislation would be presented with the necessary amendments made to them just to simplify and to make things more accessible. But that's not the only service that's being provided here.
That sounds good on the surface. The problem is, if it's the judicial branch who's writing it and checking it, don't you conceive that they're probably going to be acting in their own financial interest rather than the public interest? And if it's making law, shouldn't it be the lawmaker himself that does that research and make sure that it's not improperly drafted? I mean, look at it in this respect. If, whether you're in high school or college, if you had a term paper due or a thesis, what do we see, you know, cheating scams and scandals about people who wrote things, put their names on things that they never wrote, that they paid for someone else to write it? Well, isn't it extremely dishonest to call our lawmakers the lawmakers if they don't write it and they don't read it, they merely vote on it?
Well, in the constitutions, they are representatives and they're legislators, members of the legislature, or senators, members of the Senate. And I think that in our lifetime, Gary, the concept that they are the lawmakers has come in. It's like you go to bed on December the 31st, and you wake up on January the 1st in the new year. Who amongst us woke up on that morning thinking that in your particular state or in this nation we needed to have 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 more new laws? We just weren't going to be able to get to the January the 2nd. The idea that when you've been elected into the House or into the Senate, you go there just busting over with enthusiasm. Now you've made it, you're in the big leagues, and you want to pass law. But the judicial branch, historically, through my study of jurisprudence, their role in all of this is to interpret the law. And so if we have them not only making the law and then interpreting the law, it seems to me that it now is a one-branch government. We're just under the rule of law.
Gee, hasn't our two parties given us our own Trojan horse? They've stolen away our own separation of powers by defrauding the people and saying, we need to make all these bills. Kind of the way it works is, one of the other things I found is that you go, any group, individual, organization, whatever, lobbyists go to the legislature. They'll have these bills drafted up in the formal format, and they'll go back to these people, and it's a way of buying votes by corrupt government. That they wave that these bills for pet possible laws in front of these people. See, here's a bill for your pet peeve, whether it's environmental, taxation, or stuff. But what I found out also is that unless the caucus lawyers are told to write a legal summary of a bill, that bill is never intended to ever become law. And if you look at
The legal summary, folks, is not the same as the bill summary. If you go on the web and get follow a bill by number, then into its title, and into the bill summary is a synopsis, if you will, a greatly shortened version of what might be contained in the legislation itself. But the legal summary is a different animal. Is that correct?
Yes. Here, for example, I'll pull one of the bills I was working, 1997 in Pennsylvania, Senate Bill 2. People were complaining about nuisance taxes on local taxes on entertainment and other things, and it was about 80-some pages, 93 pages long. And the public was told this bill was going to eliminate what's referred to as nuisance taxes. And that, in fact, is a statement from the legal summary, which was written by the Republican caucus lawyers. And on page 4 here, it states, elimination of local taxes. And the legislators were told whenever they made a public statement, they must quote from the legal summary. And here it states, when a local government switches to a new system, the following taxes, commonly called nuisance taxes, are among those that must be eliminated, et cetera, et cetera. Yet when you read the actual bill on page 20, section 302, subparagraph A2, states that any governing body, after making an election to participate under this act, may, after a period of at least 3 full calendar years, levy, assess, and collect the taxes prohibited by Section 301B. Well, after 3 years, if you can re-implement the taxes that you were supposedly implementing by the provisions in this bill, then what you merely did was provide a may-use temporary suspension, not an elimination.
Right. So, and this kind of legislation can follow in just about any different area. What we look at is a special interest group or a special lobby, and we can pass legislation to appease that lobby, or even just simply go through the gyration, if you will, and create the charade of lawmaking, and
we'll have the idea die. Right. We'll tell the public one thing, while the actual bill often does something actually different from what the public is told it's going to do.
Looks good in the newspaper.
Right. Now, one of the things to support this, I found dealing with the U.S. Congress. This was back around 10 years ago, actually March of 2001, I found the website for the House Office of Legislative Counsel. And one of the items on there was a copy of an article written by one of the drafting attorneys, a Sandra Strokoff, Assistant Counsel, Office of Legislative Counsel, U.S. House of Representatives, titled How Our Laws Are Made, A Ghost Writer's View. And it's interesting what she puts here. And, of course, you understand that this site was only intended for other lawyers.
This is a website that was intended for the lawyers, okay.
Right. It was never intended for the public to find it and look at it. And a footnote says at the end that actually this article is an expanded version of one originally published by the author in the Philadelphia Lawyer, the Philadelphia Bar Association Quarterly Magazine, in summer of 1996. Well, here's what she says in her first paragraph. Frequently on the floor of the House of Representatives, one will hear a member refer to another as the author of a bill who has carefully crafted the language of the proposed legislation. Statements like these make me smile, because if the members are the authors, then I and my colleagues in the Office of the Legislative Council of the House of Representatives are the ghostwriters.
And as ghostwriters, the legislators, the actual lawmakers. Now, folks, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. And if you've got a question or a comment for Gary on this lawmaking process, please do feel free to call in. Let's continue on that very note. This shadow, we've talked about shadow government before, but here we actually have a shadow that's inside and in the shadow of both the House of Representatives and the Senate, who are working on this. What is the line of demarcation, if you will, with the executive branch? Is the executive branch influencing this?
Well, yes and no. Again, they have the White House or the governor's office has their own general counsel, which when they talk about bills coming from the governor or the president, again, he's required to give his idea to his attorneys, who will then draft it the way someone else really, whoever runs the attorneys are the ones that dictate what is actually written.
Well, let's say we don't like what we're seeing here today. Let's say we don't like what we find, and we go in and do our homework and our research, and we start finding a little bit of corruption in this lawmaking process. It's like the Ghostbusters. Who do you call? The Attorney General represents the counsel for the governor and counsel for the state. So who would you contact if you were concerned about this? Back when you were in the whistleblowing process, what do? Are we supposed to just pull our hair out, or is there some kind of a solution?
Well, the solution is people who are not going to be run by the Democrat or Republican behind the scenes puppeteers, individuals or groups of individuals are going to have to support someone from the outside to run for local, state, or federal legislature. One of the things I've done in Pennsylvania is I've run for Pennsylvania representative. And here's the basis. If you get elected, you can write your own bill and then submit it. And if the chief clerk of the House or Senate refuses to accept your bill, try as the legally elected lawmaker that has been elected to office, you can challenge in court and everywhere else and go to the public opinion and say, see, you know, how can there's something wrong here. If as your constitutional lawmaker, I'm not allowed to write the bill and introduce it. There's something wrong in our system of government.
Well, the legislative bill drafting agencies are funded. And
yes,
so the legislature...
Yes, they're funded through the legislative expenses, legislature expenses.
Okay. Let's pause right here. I want to let the callers jump in. We've got Richard in Alabama. Richard, join us. Will you please? Do you have a question or comment?
Is the International Monetary Fund the claimant under Rule 12B, meaning the claim for which relief may be granted?
I'm not familiar with that. Gary, can you handle that?
I'm not sure. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, it's in the rules of criminal and civil procedure. The rules of it's in the the rules of procedure. It's in Rule 12B. There's a federal Rule 12B. There's an Alabama Rule 12B, and I'm sure there's a Rule 12B in Pennsylvania.
Go ahead and tell us what that rule is and how it applies to the drafting of the legislation.
Before the court can have any jurisdiction over the subject matter, they must prove that there is a claim for which relief may be granted. And the claim creates the commerce in the contract arising by operation of commercial law. Now, that contract is the Code of Pennsylvania, and it is the United States Code. The code is a contract. The contract is accelerated when the client hires an attorney.
Right, and the Uniform Commercial Code is a product of this Uniform Law Commission. So I'm wondering in that, and that would be something that we'd have to look into to respond, but you're implying that there's jurisdiction that was granted for this body to exist, perhaps, or to receive their funding. Is that, am I coming close to the topic here?
What I'm saying is that the courts, and it's my belief that none of the courts of Pennsylvania or United States can get started on any case until they have the permission from the International Monetary Fund. They have the chosen action to allow the claim to be made.
Okay, I've got that down. I'll look that up. I really appreciate
every
that.
Every attorney,
go ahead.
Every attorney, I believe, is intrinsically an attorney for the International Monetary Fund.
Well, we know that they have tremendous power, and they certainly are holding the purse strings, so I wouldn't refute that without a substantial amount of research. But that's a really interesting thing, a side note to look at. And I do appreciate your call, Richard, and thanks for calling in today. Let's go back to the running out of time here, Gary. So let's start thinking about how we can, and surely this topic is big enough to warrant coming back, and I do hope you will. So let's not try and wrap up today's broadcast, but let's just start pulling this broadcast episode together for the listeners.
Well, let me give you an example of what I had done with a number of other people back in 1998 here in Pennsylvania. We had drafted ourselves, we put together in the proper format, a bill that would eliminate the Legislative Reference Bureau in Pennsylvania.
Let's find out how that turned out on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
And we're gliding into the shortest segment of today's broadcast. Become vocal local. And before we run out of time, Gary, I'm just going to say right now that I really appreciate your coming on and taking the time to be with us today. We still have one more caller on the line. I want to get to them. But we have two possibilities that you've spoken of already, and we may not be able to go back to that. But number one, of course, is to get somebody elected who's willing to push it and then back them. And the second one is to write legislation that gets rid of this legislative bill drafting agency in the first place. But let's go to our next caller. We have Don in Reno. Don, are you there? Come on up.
I'm here. Yes, I am here. And I think this is a timely comment. I don't know if your person you're interviewing on the program has heard of 1313 Metro.
Oh, Metro 1313. How could you not miss that?
Oh, right. And I was just looking through their list of groups that they have, and they have an association. Let me bring it back up again. National Association of Attorney Generals. They have several associations where people will go, and they will be groomed for their positions. And I think that if you were to contact Don Harkins of the Idaho Observer, he has done a yeoman's job in researching these organizations and put out some splendid articles. I've even got a book in my library of the International City Governments Association on law enforcement. It goes into the 60s.
We've talked about this in the past, and we'll talk about it continuously on this broadcast, but the idea of pluralism, there are so many groups out there that are extra-constitutional, that are made up of the people that are elected and appointed to service, that we have got to know about them. We need to study them, expose them where they need to be exposed, and your comment is exactly right. Now, we are running out of time. I appreciate you called on. Gary, any final thoughts for today's broadcast?
Yes, the two callers brought up things that are appropriate. What you have to remember is these entities were brought about through this backdoor legislative process of the legislative uniform law commissioners.
And have statutory backing to go with it.
Yeah, and actually it's a contradiction and violation of law, because if you look in every state law that I found, to have the bill drafting agency pushing for specific legislation is a violation of both civil and criminal law under state law in Pennsylvania. But here's the thing, if you look in their duties as commissioners on a uniform state law, they take an oath to take their uniform law objectives and contact the legislators through the Legislative Reference Bureau, pressuring them to introduce the legislation brought to them by the Uniform Law Commissioners.
So we have change agents in the House under oath to further the goals and ambitions of this cabal that is working extra-constitutionally and extra-legally.
Right. So the core problem here is the existence of this bill-drafting agency functioning as a second national Congress with tentacles into every state legislature and actually pulling the strings of the individual state legislatures.
And we're out of time, folks, and remember that the Uniform Law Commission and the International Law Commission were both founded by the same people. The laws come from the globalist to the local. Become vocal, local, right where you are. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again, and until the next time, good afternoon.
Gold has been.